As we gather together this weekend to celebrate the feast of the baptism of Jesus, we do so almost at the end of the Christmas season, trying to bring to a kind of completion the mystery of God coming among us out of great love and care. We believe that God creates us for good, and yet we also recognize that the circumstances of our lives sometimes are filled with difficulties and shadows. And we know that in the mystery of God's great love for us, when Jesus became flesh, when God became human, a whole new way of being was set up for followers of God's way. And so we come today to try to understand a bit more fully what baptism is all about. It's interesting, isn't it, that in the gospel account that we hear from Matthew, John didn't really want to baptize Jesus. In Matthew's theology, John knew that Jesus was the Son of God and really should baptize him. Yet Jesus, as a further demonstration that he wanted to fulfill the requirements of the law, submits himself to baptism. And in doing so, a whole new manifestation of God's glory is revealed. Each of our readings today apply in certain ways to that mysterious call that Jesus had as God made flesh to bring a new kind of being into the world, to reestablish, if you will, what was originally planned by God in the power of creative love. And so we hear, for instance, in the prophet Isaiah, a description of the one who was to come as one who would bring real justice to the world, one who would be so peaceful that he wouldn't extinguish a candlelight, that peace would be something that would provoke his grace and goodness into fanning into new light the power of God's presence in the world. We hear where the Messiah would not be someone who would sit on a throne to be adored by everyone, but would be someone who would actually help people be freed from whatever would hold them back from doing what God required and had given them to do in life. And so we hear that the Messiah would bring justice to the oppressed, would allow prisoners to be set free, would help people see again clearly and hear in a transformed way what the power of love would be all about. We hear in the second reading, Paul reminding the early Christian community that Jesus came to demonstrate once and for all the healing power of God's transforming love, and that he did that with an understanding that all people were welcome to God's grace, not just faithful Jewish people, or even just those people who would come to believe in Jesus and would call themselves Christian, but that all people were welcomed to the creative, healing power of God's presence in their lives. So today, as a community of faith, we rejoice in this special celebration of Jesus's baptism, reminding ourselves of what he knew he was called to do because of the grace of who he was in the world. But equally important, I think, the church asks us to think about our own baptism, to recognize that just as Christ submitted himself to a baptism by John to show his followers what God was able to accomplish in him, you and I are challenged today to figure out what our baptisms mean, not only for our own personal relationship with God, but equally important, what our baptism means for our mission in the world. For just as Jesus had a mission to perform, you and I do. And sometimes we get so caught up in the everydayness of our lives, we see only so far into the world in which we're living right now that we don't remember that each of us in our baptism has been given a special mission to help others to see more clearly, to hear more distinctly. In fact, yes, to even be a people of justice in the midst of a world that seems so often to be hell-bent on injustice with a lack of mercy toward others. If that's the case, if that's the world in which we find ourselves, and I suspect each of us knows that right now that seems to be very, very true, all the more reason for us to explore again what it is that our baptism has challenged us to fan into being for the sake of the world. Not so that we can feel more proud than others, not so that we can feel as though we've got it made and others don't, but precisely that we understand that our faith calls us into action. And the kind of action that we are to do depends upon the uniqueness of each of our lives. So I'd like to simply suggest this week, as we live in this celebration of the baptism of the Lord, that you and I each take the time to think about once more, what is it that we've been given as skills and talents? What are we good at? What do we know we can do very, very well? And remind ourselves that those things are not accidental, but are given to us as gifts of a loving God for the sake of the world, for the sake of others, every bit as much as ourselves. And it's not just our professional lives or our relational lives that we're talking about, but we're also talking about our communal life. We are individuals in community. We are an individual called to live in community with others. So what can others expect of the gifts and the talents that God has given us? How will we fan into a firmer fire the goodness that exists in our lives? How can we, in fact, demonstrate clearly the kind of call that each of us has been given to also help others see more clearly, hear more distinctly, understand more fully that God is present among us, and we not only know that, but God operates through us in the care and concern that we show others. Goodness knows we could look at our lives right now as on the brink of great danger and great difficulty, or we can look upon it through the eyes of our baptismal call and see the great challenge that each of us has been given to be our very best and to let the Holy Spirit that came to us in baptism fan into a new fire the kind of life that we know we ought to be living for ourselves and for the sake of the world. What is it that you do well? How will you offer that to others, not only today and tomorrow, but throughout your lifetime? As you continue to grow, no matter what your age, into the person God has created you to be, how will you let others share in that goodness, that grace, that reflection of God's love that only you are called to share? What a wonderful thing it must have been, as Matthew proclaims, for Jesus to hear that voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Isn't it wonderful to know that each of us today can also hear God saying, "This is my beloved child," each and every one of us. "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased."